Last night, the Champaign Unit 4 School Board received the official report from the Tier 2 Facilities Committee, made up of community members, with recommendations for how to proceed with new facilities in the district, including a new Champaign Central High School. The Unit 4 School Board will now take the committee's recommendations, get feedback from the community, and decide to what to ask for from voters in the district on a bond referendum this November. Board President Chris Kleppel joins me in our WILO studios to discuss this process. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Let's talk about the committee's overall work here. Just your thoughts on the overall process that the Tier 2 committee has gone through.
So started in late February there and went for a good long haul every Thursday. And then there towards the end, we had some breaks as the architects and the construction managers really dove into getting some numbers on things and everything. But I think it was a good conversation. We had it out in the open. We put everything up on the website. We blasted out through social media, came on radio, came on television, so talking about it. So I think it was a good run of information in a condensed period of time that got a lot of community feedback during that time, but also looking forward to the continuation of that feedback that we'll be able to get from the community going forward.
Probably the biggest difference in this report from the Tier 2 Facilities Committee compared to previous referenda that have been on the ballot is the recommendations for Champaign Central High School. Of course, the previous two referenda were asking voters to approve a location on Interstate Drive on the far north edge of the city. This time, the committee's recommending that the district ask to renovate and expand Central High School at the current location. How did the committee come to that conclusion?
Earlier in the year, the board had acquired options on several properties, which really kind of allowed us to have the conversation comparing the Interstate Drive option with the potential for building and expanding there at Central, where it sits currently on University. And even adding to that was a plan to use some of those option properties to build a brand new Central High School. And so just getting those numbers put out there, MTD came and gave an in-depth report on some cost impacts that would affect the district and the community really as a whole, including Urbana, if we were to build at Interstate Drive. That was included in the conversation, kind of listening to the community feedback. Certainly all the voters in the April, in the spring of 15 weren't voting because they didn't like the Interstate Drive, but you certainly got a sense that that was something that the voters were asking for, to have a conversation, to look at the other potential options. And so the two that still continued to rise to the top was the Interstate Drive location, and then what could we do there and around Central. And so listening to that community feedback, taking into consideration the report from the MTD with the cost implications, kind of adding those into the figures, and really seeing the potential of staying at Central and what was being offered there and what we could do with expanding some of our athletic facilities at Southside and then also at Spalding in some partnerships with the Park District, the committee, I feel, really felt that that was a good option. It was a suitable option. I think it's important to note that it's not a second-rate option. It is a very when we talk about expanding and renovating there at Central, it's not. I've had a conversation with a teacher actually that mentioned lipstick on a pig. You know, it'd be one thing if we're going through and painting, but I mean, we're talking about Central Air throughout the building, something that Central has never had. We're doing some extensive networking and electrical upgrades when we go through there. And the new space that the plans show include up to 200,000 square feet of brand new space. And Central, as it sits right now, is just over 230,000 square feet. So it's a extensive plan. It's a plan that really, and it addresses all the needs, the Tier 1 process, the administrators, the teachers, all that information really that's been being put together for the past 10, 12 years was what was then kind of fed to the Tier 2 as they made this process. All those needs are being addressed. Certainly there's going to be things that you're not able to do building and keeping the school at Central, walking out the back door to, onto a football field like you're able to do at Centennial is not an option. But it's a plan that puts that all together with the South Side, and when you incorporate Spalding and you look at it, and it's interesting. I was talking with another board member after last night's meeting. All seven of the Board of Education members send their school, as it sits right now, some are sending their kids to Central, some have sent their kids to Central, but we all are currently, those of us with elementary school students and middle school students, feed into Central High School. So when we're talking about this option of what we're doing at Central, we have the potential to be sending our kids there in the future. And I, as an individual, look at the plan, and obviously I've been in the middle of it for a good year or so now. And so I see where all the pieces are, but I can honestly say that this isn't a second-rate option. This is a good option. It answers the needs that the Tier 1 has sent forward, and it really is going to have a positive impact on students for a number of years to come.
Now, with the Central is just part of this, the Tier 2 committee identified needs at several facilities, including Centennial High School, Dr. Howard Elementary, Edison Middle School, the International Preparatory Academy, and Southside Elementary. That's a lot of needs for the district. How do you, as a board, try to balance the needs of those facilities and what to ask for from voters here this November in about a minute, if you can?
So, very hardly. It's going to be a hard conversation. Certainly, you look at the numbers at $300+ million. We're actually not allowed to even ask for that amount of money. We have a limit that's around $257 million. I think that would be a really hard number to cap. And so, just really looking at things and talking about it, and Tier two, having that task of discussing all the facilities so the Board of Education knew where they should go with all of those, and then also so we're able to make a plan for that. And so I think you're just going to have to weigh the benefits and the pros and cons of doing certain projects, and knowing that some are going to be put on the back burner, but understanding that at this point, at least we have a plan for what we're going to be doing with that to lay the framework for future boards to come.
Centennial High School. Let's talk about that briefly, if we could. You mentioned that as it happens right now, all the board members have their kids kind of going towards Central High School. How do you make sure that Centennial doesn't kind of get overlooked in this whole process?
I think that was one of the reasons why we had the facilities committee created that Tier 2, was to address all the needs of the district. That Central certainly has kind of risen to the top in these conversations, or the high schools. I think people talk about the high schools, that those have kind of been what rise to the top. I talk about how, you know, there's 12 elementary schools, you go to one or maybe two as a family, you go to one of the three middle schools, but then the entire district goes to one of the two high schools. So it's something that involves everybody. It's something that so taking a look at that, looking at the needs that Centennial has, they have a outdated air conditioning system. I know that's interesting to talk about when you talk about Central not having one at all, but looking at that as a need, looking at space, how they flow, updating science labs. Central has two gymnasiums. Centennial only has one, which creates challenges when doing PE. There's been a state mandate coming down that all students need to participate in PE now, even if they participate in extracurricular activities. And so looking at those needs that Centennial has and creating a plan and an option, options in this case, that would address those needs at a curriculum standpoint at its very least, and then doing some other upgrades that benefit the entire district when you talk about that. So and then having those conversations side by side, so one group of people, one set of families isn't feeling left out over the other. And not that that's what it's all about, but that the needs are there at both high schools. And so having the conversation simultaneously about them, and then when, as the board sits down and begins to discuss what we need to do, we're able to look and see what those needs are and what the recommendations are for us to do at those two schools.
If you could contrast a little bit the situation with Dr. Howard Elementary as opposed to Champaign Central, there seems to be a lot of impetus to keep Central at its current location, keep the current building. That seems to be what you've been hearing so far in this process. Dr. Howard, to contrast that, older building, I think about 100 years old, the committee recommends to tear down and rebuild there at that Dr. Howard site. What makes Dr. Howard different than Central?
I think what really makes Dr. Howard different at the core, and we had a pretty good conversation the week that we talked about this as a committee, is that really we had to reach and almost force the architects into even bringing a plan that incorporated keeping the old Dr. Howard. And that was because in their initial review of the building, they just really saw that the way Dr. Howard was built, a lot of interior walls that couldn't be moved because they're structural and load-bearing, and that it was going to be Dr. Howard more so than any building, any school building in our district is really a collaboration of a whole bunch of buildings. There's, I think the joke is 17 different levels, but I think it's really, it's pretty darn accurate to being 17 different levels in a building. And so just the challenges that that would present and kind of the best plan that the architects were able to come up with was an addition to that building that put it on six different levels, which is a great reduction from the, but for an elementary school, really still a challenge. And the fact then that you're not able to resize any of those interior classroom spaces in the old Dr. Howard. And so it just still continues to be a difficult building to size and meet the needs of a current elementary school setting. And so the decision was made by the committee after having that discussion, talking about those reasons. The decision was made to tear down and then to have a conversation then with the neighborhood. Are we going to two stories and three stories? And so when you look at the recommendation, rebuild either a two or three story school on its current site, that's why that decision was made. You know, there will be sightline things to discuss with the neighborhood and really allowing the neighborhood to be a part of that conversation when you're talking about situating a school in their neighborhood that might sit a little differently than it does currently.
Sure. Before we wrap this up, Chris, what's next in this process? It looks like a couple of town hall meetings coming up, but tell us what's coming up here.
Yep. We have a couple town hall meetings. The first one is going to be at Central High School on Thursday, June 23rd at 6 p.m., and you can enter that meeting through the Seeley Hall entrance on Park Avenue. The second town hall will be at Centennial High School on Thursday, July 14th. Also at 6 p.m., and you can enter the North Visitors Entrance there off of Crescent Drive. We've also, last night, actually approved a contract with Unicom ARC. They're a surveying firm out of St. Louis, and they're going to help conduct community surveys to gather community sentiments, opinions, and ideas on the current Unit 4 facilities, as well as proposed plans under consideration by the current Board of Education. And so wheeling that out and really adding those bits of the neighborhood, want to go talk to the neighborhood, partnering with Neighborhood Services with the City of Champaign to talk to some of those neighborhoods, Edison, Dr. Howard, about what we're doing and what we're thinking about doing in those neighborhoods. So those are kind of next steps. And then really as a board, we're going to have to jump into it. Talking about doing some study sessions where this is kind of some focus of some of our meetings coming up, because that August deadline where a year ago seemed really far away is really fast approaching. But I think we have a good bit of information in front of us, in front of the community. All that information is available on the facilityplanning.champaignschools.org. So you're able to public comments, everything. It's all there in one condensed location.
All right. Chris Kleppel, president of the Champaign Unit 4 School Board. Chris, thanks so much for stopping by, spending some time with us, and talking about this process.
My pleasure.